You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action. On this edition, you'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Luke Elder, James Millman and Rory Delaghi in the studio. Busy day to look forward to as well. We've got racing at Newmarket, Ascot, Redcar and Fontwell on Saturday afternoon. Evening action as well from Wolverhampton. Group 1 contest in the Sun Chariot Stakes and plenty of other group contests along the way as well. Quite a good day to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio, it's Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm surviving. Thank you very much, Mark.
Yeah, you sound more chipper than last time we did one of these.
Yeah. Hopefully we're getting there.
Good stuff. Still got a bit of gravel in the voice, though.
That's what we call a chest infection, apparently.
Right, okay. Got the Arca coming up, obviously, this weekend. The draw is out as well. So we'll have a quick look ahead to Sunday's showpiece race, the richest race on the turf and in Europe. We'll start with a quick look at the betting. Postponed 7-4, 5-1 for Makahiki, 7-1 Found, Harzan 7-1, 12-1 New Bay, 16s Order of St George, Silverware 16-1 as well, Left Hand is 20s, 25-1 or bigger prices for the others. If you're a backer of Postponed, you might have been waiting for the draw to go in at a short price, such as 2-1 and 7-4 as it has been. You'd be quite happy with 7, wouldn't you?
Yeah, based on limited evidence. If you've been looking at the results of previous pre-de jockey clubs when it was run over a mile and a half, so prior to Chamberdale, for example, would give you an idea of whether there is a draw advantage there. And there's not in a really big field, it might be a negative against very high drawn horses, but that's not really been the case in the races that that I've looked at. The thing to bear in mind with Sean T is that they start in front of the stands and they take a sweeping left turn before getting onto the right-handed circuit. So it means horses drawn on the outside are going the shortest way around the first bend, or half bend, if you like. So it gives them an opportunity of getting track position, and plenty of previous winners of the French Derby, for example, have come from wide-ish draws. When Soleimani won the French Derby, for example, I think the first two home were drawn 11 and 13 in a 15 or 16 runner field. And when they've been a big field, horses drawn in double figures haven't necessarily been at a disadvantage. So I wouldn't worry too much about the draw. In fact, I'd be a little bit more concerned if you're drawn a stall one.
Yeah.
Because if you end up on the outside of the field briefly before the field comes back on top of you. So if you don't have your wits about you, you can be caught out there and get caught in the pocket. So Order St George is drawn 16, but he's ridden by Frankie Dettori.
Yeah.
And Frankie, of course, won from a wide draw last year. So he's got the guts to go forward if needs be. And of course, given that Order St George stays beyond 2 miles, Gold Cup winner, they're probably going to go forward with him anyway.
Yeah.
And Makahiki is another one who's drawn out wide. I don't think that's a massive negative to his chances either. And those were my two anti-post bets in the race going back to the start of the summer. There's less value about them now than there was. Makahiki obviously won his trial, which wasn't much of a race, to be honest. But they're players at their respective prices. They're not... neither of them have absolutely outstanding claims in the race, but it's a wide open arc for me. I mean, Postponed is the horse to beat, but he's plenty short enough at around 7-4.
Yeah, I suppose a lot of people still maybe influenced by the draw as it would have been at Longchamp. So
yes,
people voicing concerns about Makahiki saying an Order of St George. You don't think it's that?
Well, I think
that,
people that automatically assume that if you're drawn wide on any track, it's a big negative, and it can be. If you're stuck on the outside of the field going around the bends, then you're in a bad place. But it's all about having a jockey who knows where to tuck in, who rides the track well. And these draws are not necessarily negatives if a jockey's got his wits about him. Of course, once you believe you're badly drawn, you almost always are because you ride negatively as a result.
Yeah. Some of the horses are ridden for the trip. Exactly, their chances.
So, again, you can't be wasting too much ground by seeing too much daylight early. But at the same time, if you take back markedly in the early stages, you're going to struggle to pass most of the field. So, and of course, that depends to a large degree on how the race is run. But I don't think it's going to be... Well, if Order St. George decides to make the pace, it could be a very well-run race, but it's liable to turn fairly tactical, and you've got to A, be in the right place, and also have the speed to make a move at the right time.
Yeah. That's the feature race coming up on Sunday in Shaughnessy. Plenty of other big races as well. I think there's seven group ones, isn't there, on the card at Shaughnessy. Any other things you're just looking forward to in general, really, for the Sunday?
Well, a couple of horses who should go very close. We've got domestic form, obviously, your Mecca's Angel and Lamato. Mecca's Angel missed the Abai last year because of the ground. She's got her conditions this time around. They're suggesting it's going to be good ground, but it'll be on the soft side of good tomorrow. So no issues about her running. And, of course, she nearly broke the track record at York. She was in, 0.1 of a second of a really old track record. So that proves that she just doesn't want firm ground. So there are no excuses for her not going. And she's an absolute standout in the Abai. She's by far the best 5 furlong horse around at the moment, and all she needs is to run close to her form to blow that field apart. For all it's competitive below her, she showed in the Nunthorpe that she really is absolutely top notch. And the horse she beat there, Lamato, he ran remarkably well given that 5 furlongs is clearly too short for him. 6.5 in the 4A is ideal. He was beaten in the race last year after getting in a bad position early. A few people blamed Ryan Moore for getting in a bad position, but he didn't seem to go the gallop in the first half furlong for some reason, which is unusual for him because he's a very fast horse. But he absolutely flew home and looked an unlucky loser on the day. He's clearly the pick in the 4A this time around.
Yep.
It's the ideal trip for him. 7 furlongs. The problem is there really only are a couple of really good 7 furlong races in the year, and this is one of them.
Yeah, and I would say he's probably a better horse than last year, and he managed to finish runner-up even though things went wrong for him last year.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A real good chance for him to
oh, he's taken his form a step forward this time around.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a bigger, stronger horse, and his form is exceptional. And as we said, you know, he's showing extremely good form at 5 furlongs despite the fact that he actually stays a mile.
Yeah, exactly.
So that'll be a short price double, I think, in the end. But you shop around a little bit, you could get a good return for your money on the double.
Yeah, I've seen far worse doubles. We'll leave that there. We'll obviously build up to Shaughnessy on Sunday, on tomorrow's edition of the podcast, and obviously on Racing Radio on Sundays. We will be live for all of the action at Shaughnessy, as well as the domestic stuff, so do tune in for that. Right now, though, let's get stuck into Saturday's racing. For once, Saturday's overshadowed by Sunday, but we've got some good races picked out to look at along the way. Rory's got 4 of them prepared, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at 3 races from Ascot and the Group 1 contest at Newmarket. We'll start in the 2:30 at Ascot, which is the Cumberland Lodge Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and a half. It's for the 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 9 to go to post here. Betting out on site as well, Arab Spring 3-1 market leader at this point. 100-30 for King's Fate. Western Hymn 7-2. 7-1 Sunbal. Move Up is 9-1. 12-1 Starstorm and Giretto is 14s. With Goodwood Zodiac at 16s and 200-1 about Black Knight. Strong hand there for Sir Michael Stout, Rory.
Yeah, he's got favourite and second favourite in Arab Spring and King's Fate. And strictly speaking, one of those two should win in form. I am concerned about a couple of things. One, Arab Spring's drawn in stall 1, which is a bad place to be, over a mile and a half at Ascot. And secondly, just the form of the yard. His strike rate's about... I think he's 3 from 36 in the last fortnight, which isn't a strike rate of a yard out of form. But at the same time, he's not getting the winners the market suggests he should. His horses are regularly overbet, and you're getting about even money the pair against the field. They do have a big chance on form. Arguably, the one to beat, strictly on this year's form, is Sunbal, who's having his first start for David Simcock, having been with... Francis Henri Graffard, that's his name. His form in some of the better middle distance French group races this year give him every chance. I think the last time he saw him was the Grand Prix de Chantilly. And he's interesting in a price. I certainly wouldn't be putting you off him. But I'm going to go each way here in a horse who doesn't have the form to win this, but is thoroughly reliable and will run his race, and I think it'll see him in the frame. That's Giretto of Andrew Balding's. Beaten a short head behind Muntaha in a handicap at Chester last time out. Pulled clear of the rest. Previously ran very well at this track. His record over course and distance is really solid. And I think he will have conditions to suit. He likes a little bit of ease in the ground, and there's rain due overnight. And we've heard from Ken Pitterson today that the track's been overwatered in the closing stages. The jockey's saying that the going's meant to be good all round. Jockey's calling the going soft in the last furlong and a half. And that would suit Giretto, who handles a very soft ground, but is also at home and good. And I think, you know, it's unlikely that he's going to beat all of these, but I think he's got a very good chance of hitting the frame, and you're going to get 12-1 and upwards about him. And he's not likely to be backed beyond that, because there's two or three. Yeah, you throw in Western Hymn there, he's got a big chance on form. I don't like Western Hymn as a horse particularly, but he helps make the market as well. So Giretto, if he sneaks into the frame, you'll be getting a decent payoff for your money.
14-1 in the betting as it stands. Also, take a look at the William Hill Place Only market as well on the day, on the pro race card. That'd be something you'd keep an eye on.
Yeah, because as I said, it's unlikely to be winning this, and of course he gets placed more often than he wins anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, he would be a very solid place only bet, or the anchor of an each way double or something like that.
Yeah. On to the 3:05 at Ascot next. Then this is also a Group 3. This is the Benghoff Stakes, the John Guest Benghoff Stakes. It's over 6 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. 10 of them will take their place here. Rory Shalar is at the top of the market. 15-8, 6-1 for Don't Touch, 9-1 for Ridge Ranger, 9-1 also Strathburn and Windfast, 10-1 Outback Traveller and Meronisa, and 11-1 on bigger prices for the others. Interesting to see Shalar back from a long absence. Rory was the top juvenile in Britain before injury. Good to see him back.
It is good to see him back, but I think it's a big ask. He's got a great chance on the ratings, but the collateral form of his 2-year-old races doesn't put him miles ahead of these. He was a proper 2-year-old last year as well, very precocious. I'm not sure he's the type to improve particularly from 2 to 3. And he's been injured and off the course for more than a year. So I think he's a ridiculously short price at about 15-8. I think he ends up drifting quite badly on the day.
Okay.
And if he wins, it's a great performance from John Gosden, but you couldn't make him 15-8 given his profile. The one I like here is Outback Traveller. Mr. Race Course of the Ground recently. Won the Woking over course and distance earlier in the year.
Yeah.
And then dropped back to 5 furlongs at York and was never really going there. You can pretty much write that performance off. A lot of horses just don't get going at York. And I think Tom Morley, who part owns him, said, you know, he just got wheel spin at the start and could never really get involved. And he's had 2 or 3 horses who've had identical experiences at York. They just cannot get any purchase leaving the stalls there and struggle to be competitive as a result. Whereas Outback Traveller's shown a lot of his best form at Ascot over the years. He's won on firm ground in the past, but he's getting older now and he's getting a bit jointy and he probably wants ease in the ground. So he doesn't want really deep ground, but he wants enough ease that he can let himself down properly on it, and he'll get those conditions tomorrow. So given that the Woking was very solid form, I thought double figure price was generous about him.
Mm. Currently 10-1 Outback Traveller in the 3:05 at Ascot. On to the 3:40 at Ascot, which is the Challenge Cup Heritage Handicap. It's a Class 2 event over 7 furlongs. We've got 18 of them to go to post here. We've got betting out on site as well. Labrita Breeze, 11-2 favourites for this one. It's 8-1 for Afjan, bit of money around for that. Tens into 8s. 9-1 for Firmament. 9-1 also Remarkable. 10-1 for Growl and Squats. 11-1 Dutch Law. 12s or bigger for the others. Rory, what do you make of it? One of the more open races of the day.
Yeah, there's a standout here. If you thought he was going to show his form, that's Labrisa Breeze, who's massively caught the eye in his last 2 runs at Ascot, going very close in the Hunt Cup, having been backed off the boards, and then winning a similar race to this, and next time showing a tremendous turn of foot, hugely impressive that he managed to put the race to bed in a matter of strides from what looked a difficult position. He didn't really enjoy the run of things at York. Subsequently, we've really dealt with York as a track. And my initial reaction was that he bounced right back to form here. He's got the very good draw in stall 16 from what we've seen of today's racing. But massive worry is Dean Ivory's form. started the season out of form, had a decent patch in the middle of the year, but now he's had one winner from his last 50-odd runners, and that suggests the horses are not right. So Labrisa Breeze may well buck that trend, but it's difficult to back a horse at a short price when the yard's misfiring as badly as that. So I have to pass him over as a result. For all, he's a bit of a machine when given his conditions. And it's tough beyond that because there are lots of interconnecting form lines. Dutch Law won a race over course and distance last month in which a few of these were behind. He got the run of things, lots of trouble in running. He was launched with a challenge down the outside and got first run. I think a lot of people want to be against him. He might end up producing a bit of each way value because a lot of people just don't want to back him, thinking that he was flattered there. He wasn't flattered as such. He ran a very solid race, but there were two or three horses in behind who didn't get much of a run, who could do better. But they're all likely to be fairly heavily backed, to be honest. Squats being one of them. He was given too much to do that day by Ryan Moore. Susie's Connoisseur looked unlucky in the run as well, and that's been the case a number of times with him. And I think Heaven's Guest was back in the field there as well. So there are several of those who were behind. Firmament was second in the race, and you know he was getting up all the time, and again came from a more difficult position than the winner. So a lot of people will fancy the form to be turned around by one or more horses there. But rather than concentrating on that, I thought Right Touch was interesting for Richard Fahey and Tony Hamilton. He's a course winner over 6 furlongs in his time. He's a 6-year-old now, but better than ever this year. He hasn't had an awful lot of racing for a horse of his age. As I said, he was better than ever when winning at Chester 2 starts ago. That was his first run since April. And he beat no less a horse than Kimperella, who also runs on this Ascot card. And Kimperella, of course, has won 3 times this season. Again, looking better than ever. And was an easy winner off a mark of 104, I think, at Ripon last time out. So that form is very solid. He then was a very good second to a thriving rival in Breakable at Chester last time out when he chased the leader all the way and couldn't quite get on terms. That was back over this trip, which he clearly stays very well. He's not at all badly handicapped. Most of those horses, even those who were getting beaten at Ascot last time out behind Dutch Law, most of those have gone up on the weights for getting beaten. And Right Touch has also gone up, but he's only gone up a total of £7 for his last 2 runs, which looks very fair because the defeat of Kimberella with Rudy back in the field is absolutely rock solid form, and the Breakable was very well handicapped when winning last time out and got the run of the race as well. So his form stacks up really well. We know he handles the track. He's drawn well in stall 14. He looks like he represents a bit of value at around 16-1.
Okay, don't touch then the value for Rory in the 3:40, 6-1 in the market at the moment. And the final race we'll look at is the 4 o'clock at Newmarket, the Kingdom of Bahrain Sun Chariot Stakes. A fillies group one over a mile, and the market headed by Alice Springs, who's 11-8, 7-2 Vidaya or Avedia. Volta is 7-2, 11-1 for Always Smile, 12-1 Arabian Queen and Smart Call, 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. You've got Alice Springs in here, Rory, who still looks progressive at 3, and she's won some big races already. Then you've got the likes of Avedia and Arabian Queen, who've won big races in the past but probably struggled a little bit of late. So is that the pattern of the race, really?
Yeah, it looks that way. Arabian Queen's still vaguely interesting. She injured her pelvis earlier in the season, which explains one poor run from her. And she hasn't been staying a mile and a half. But in fairness, her career best performance came over a mile and a quarter, and she drops back to a mile for the first time in a while. And whether she's fully effective over a mile these days, I don't know. She ran really well behind Somi Dar at Yarmouth last time out, and I wouldn't rule her out of this. But with her Vegia not really firing this season, it looks like it's Alice Springs' race to win or lose. She's been a little bit in and out in terms of her form figures, but her most recent run was absolutely top-notch, both in terms of the collateral form and on the clock. That was in the Matron Stakes at Leopardstown on Champions Weekend. That was a competitive race on paper, but she put a lot of distance between herself and the rest of the field. Akima, the favourite, who was third, probably slightly over the top of the season. She's been retired for the season on the back of that. And you could argue that maybe Alice Springs was taking advantage of a very good opportunity, but it wasn't a particularly good day for Aidan O'Brien generally that day. Lots of fancy horses beaten, but Alice Springs looked right back to her very best. And a repeat of that, we'll see her go very close.
Yeah, Alice Springs looks pretty hard to beat there in the 4 o'clock at Newmarket. Then, as usual, Rory, just a bit of a quick summary before you go. Just relay your final selections for us then for Saturday.
Sure. In the Cumberland Lodge Stakes at Ascot, the 2:30, a Giretto each way, or place only if you prefer. In the John Guest Ben Gough Stakes at 3:05, Outback Traveller at double figures is too big. And that comment also applies in the 3:40 to Right Touch. And over at Newmarket in the 4 o'clock, Alice Springs is a shorter price than that trio, but she should get the job done in the Sun Chariot.
Superb. Thank you very much, Rory. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
So there you go, the thoughts of Rory Delaghi on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35 PM with Luke Elder, James Millman and Rory in the studio. It's Newmarket, Ascot, Redcar and Fontwell in the afternoon. Some good racing along the way there as well. And we finish off the day with an all-weather card on the Tapita at Wolverhampton. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.